In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Our Father in heaven, we thank you once again for another opportunity that you have given unto each and every one of us. For us to be alive today and to be among the living souls. Thank you because you have brought us here for a purpose. We pray that that which you desire to do in our hearts and our lives, we pray that you would do and you will perfect for each and every one of us in Jesus' name. We pray that the entrance of your word will bring light and life into our lives in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because we know you've answered. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. I would want us quickly to turn our Bibles to the book of Revelation. And may I mention quickly that we are taking a leap from where we stopped last session when we talked about behold our threefold Christ, to beginning to take a panoramic view of Christ's letter to the churches in Asia Minor. And that was why we read Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3 in our Bible reading. And the topic we are looking at today is what we've called, I know thy works. Now, why did we even use these words? Now, you realize if you followed each of the letters that we read in the Bible reading, that this was the beginning of what God revealed unto Christ. And Christ was saying unto the churches, and he says, I know thy works. And to all the churches, he mentioned, I know thy works. Now, if you recall, when we started this whole series, we said this was the revelation of God, which he gave unto Jesus Christ. And so if Jesus is saying, I know thy works, unto all the churches, I want to tell you that if you are a member of the body of Jesus Christ, it is true that God knows your work. It is true that Jesus knows you and he knows your work. And what are the implications of this for us? What are the things that he saw in each of these churches? And how does God look at us as individuals, as a group, or as a congregation, and sometimes even as a nation? And we're going to be looking at this today. It is our prayer and our desire that as we go through these words, we will not be just talking about Ephesus or Smyrna or Thyatira or Pergamos. We're going to be talking about ourselves, because it may seem as though we are talking about Christ's letter to the churches, but this letter applies to churches, groups, as they also apply to individuals. And so you will see in each of the letters, which we're going to talk about in a later session, that Jesus kept on saying, him that art and hear, he that art and hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. So you realize that what we are looking at here is not a diagnostics of the churches. Now, those churches are gone. We are here. And if Jesus is saying some things about these churches, it's important that we pay close attention. But the Bible says that whatsoever is written aforetime is written for our what? Our learning. So as we come today, as we look at each of the churches, just the words of Jesus Christ when he said, I know thy works. What were the things that he noticed? What were the things that he observed? And can we look at our own lives and begin to see what could God be saying about us? Now you realize, and we're going to read momentarily some of these passages, you realize that throughout the passage and each of the letters, Jesus was talking about the church, people in the church, the angel of the church, actions of the church. And for each of these, there were commendations. I know thy works. And he could give a commendation, a correction, a caution, a condemnation, and sometimes a counsel or a call to attention, a combination of these. So it is very, very central that we pay attention to this word. Now, two things are the center of our study tonight. Number one is the omniscience of God. Some say omniscience, but it's the omniscience of God. The fact that God knows all things. The second is the works of believers. So recall when we started this whole series, we said this is not a letter to the whole world. This is a letter to the church. And you may begin to get amazed that how could God be speaking to the church and be saying some of these things? Now, the body of Christ and the combination of Christians, you know, when you have Christians come together, are walking towards perfection. And I said walking, because our acts are works. And we're going to be talking about that even this night. So two things at the center. Number one, the omniscience of God. And number two, the works of believers. Now, quickly, let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. I'll read just specific verses. In verse 2 to 3, the Bible says, I know thy works, to the church in Ephesus said, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. If you go to verse 9, he says to Smyrna, the church in Smyrna, he says, I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty. He said, but thou art rich. And he said, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. And he says, I know thy works. And where thou, in verse 13, he says, I know thy works. And where thou dwellest, even there, where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Now, if you go to verse 19 of chapter 2, verse 1 of chapter 3, verse 8 of chapter 3, and verse 15 of chapter 3, you will see Christ starting or, you know, making a statement about his knowledge of the works of each of these churches. Now, like I said, two things. You see, when he says, I know thy works, the first thing that is central there is omniscience of God. That God has universality of knowledge. There is nothing hidden from him. He knows all things. He knows that which is done in the open, that all men know about, or at least men know about it. And he knows that which is done in secret, that no other person can talk about. So the Bible says that God is a God of knowledge. In the book of 1 Samuel, it says, by him, actions are weighed. Meaning, God evaluates even our actions based on his perfect knowledge and understanding. Not just based on the way it appears unto men. You see, a man can be doing some things and other men will praise him. And God will look at such action and say, no, this is not acceptable unto me. Praise the Lord. So our actions, our works are weighed by God. And all our motives behind every action that man cannot see, the Lord knows them. So he's the all-knowing God. He takes into account our acts before he makes a judgment call on what our actions are, whether they be right or unrighteous. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Psalms chapter 147 verse 5 that his understanding is infinite. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So God sees you. God sees me. God sees my actions as well as your actions. God sees my words, whether they be genuine. God sees my seemingly righteous acts, whether they come from a place of love for him, or it comes from a place of self-aggrandizement. God sees why men can easily be moved and be excited by the activities of other men. God is not easily excited like that. Praise the Lord. So God knows man. It's infinite knowledge. He knows a man that would fall and fail. Actually, there was, you know, the story of the anointing of David. When Samuel went there, a prophet, he saw the tall brother. He said, surely this is him. And God said, no, I've not chosen this person. He said, I look not as men look. So God has a perfect eye. If you go through the scripture, the matter of the omniscience of God is something that is established throughout. The Bible says God searched the heart and he tries the reins, even as, you know, secret and wicked that the heart of man can be. The Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? But God searched the heart. And why do we need to say this? Because men can do some actions that would be presented as works, but God is not there. Now, all these things, all our actions shall be made manifest in the final day. So, if you look at, for example, I'll just read a few. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 24, and if you're not there, don't worry, you can just write it down. It says, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, see the Lord? Do I not feel heaven and earth, see the Lord? That God has infinite knowledge. Even before we ask for things, he knows all things. I read the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 3 already. Say, talk no more exceedingly, proudly. Let no arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 20 says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He knows all things. He knows both impressed and expressed things. He knows the motive and the actions of men." And so there is no question here, and I'll quickly move away from that. So we know that every act of a man is known by God. Every work of a man is known by God. And so the second subject we have here that is presented to us today is the subject of works. When we say, "I know God," Jesus is saying, "I know thy works." And I want to call your attention to the fact that he said this for all the seven churches. Seven is a number for completion. He knows for all the churches. There was no church he said he does not know for or know about. Brethren, he knows your works. But you may be asking the question, what is it about my works? What is the relevance of my works? I want you to know that your works, my works, are central, and they form the basis for our judgment at the end of the day. They form the basis of our judgment, of our assessments at the end of time. You see, men, women, groups, congregations will be judged according to their works. I would be before the Lord and will give account of the works that I did on earth. And so will you, and so will every one of us. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 12, it says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." You see, what I see in that passage is that as we live through our life on earth, there is an invisible hand, I've said this before, that is taking notes of our lives and is writing them into books. And on the final day, there will be an opening. You see, both those things that are seen and those things that are not seen by men, everything will become evident. And men who have gone around, like the church in Sardis, which we will later learn about, who have a name that they are alive. If you read Revelation chapter 3, verse 2, you will see it. They have a name that they are alive. But when God was going to show us, if you look at Revelation chapter 3 there, he says, "Thou hast a name that thou art alive, but thou art dead." So I may be going around. A man may be going around with the mind that, oh, everything is fine. And people are praising him and say, "Oh, what a righteous man." Because of some acts, because of some brands, because of a carriage. But God looks and he says, "No, this is a dead man." I pray this will not be a portion in Jesus' name. So this matter we are raising today is like we are looking at a mirror and we are saying, "God, when you are going to make an assessment of my own life," not when men make an assessment of my life, or I make an assessment of my own life. Because if you go to the last church that was talked about, the church in Laodicea, you say they were saying to themselves, "We are rich, we are rich, we are rich." But the Bible says, Jesus says, "Thou art poor." They profess about themselves, "Oh, I'm righteous, everything is fine." But when God was going to talk about him, he says, "Thou art poor. Then I counsel thee to buy of me gold." So you see, the poverty, there are people that go about today and they say, "Oh, you know, the blessing of the Lord is a sign that God is with us. Praise the Lord." And they say, "We know that God does not bless in us." And because of that, they think to themselves. You see, there are many people that will present on that final day, as we read in Revelation, when the books will be opened and they see what is written in the books, they will be ashamed. And so the Bible says in that Revelation chapter 20, verse 13, it says, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell, amen, delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." That is why it is important. When Jesus mentioned to the churches, "I know thy works," he's saying, "See, your actions, your acts is not hidden from me." Praise the Lord. And so the implication of this for us is the subject of our discourse today, that God knows our works. You see, if we go forward in verse 14 of that Revelation chapter 20, it says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So books are opened and there was a book. Brethren, there is a rendering to every man according to his works. And it's not only sinners. You know, when you read about that in Revelation chapter 20, you say, okay, those are sinners. But I want to say also that even the righteous shall be rewarded according to their works. So it's not just that the sinners will be judged according to their works, but even the righteous. If you look at the book of Revelation chapter 22, and I've used a lot of Revelation text here because we are looking at Revelation. The Bible says in verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. So our reward, why is it important that we talk about our works? It is the basis of judgment. It is the basis of reward. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 to 15, it says, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is, including service. I'll talk about what work means momentarily. Your service is part of work. Then in verse 14, it says, if any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Our reward is based on our works. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yes, as by fire. But that is pointing to, we're talking about believers here. You and I, who have come to the Lord through saving faith. And then we begin to walk. We begin to build upon that which we have received, whether through service or through actions or through whatsoever means, as commanded in the scripture. Now, some people have come into this faith and they built other things, rubbles on top of their faith. And they built things that perish on top of their faith. What Apostle Paul was saying to the Corinthian believers is that the works of every man shall be made evident and manifest on the final day. When we present ourselves to the Lord, now we may be saved, but Jesus will be there and say, what is this one? This was not of me. This service that you did, or this act that you did, that you were raising yourself for, was not to my glory. I didn't know anything about it. And then it says, it does not stand or meet the standard. Henceforth, out. Burnt. Burnt. I pray our work will not be burnt on the final day in Jesus' name. What we are saying here is that our reward is a function of our works. And so let's make sure. Let's assess that our works of righteousness stand and meet the standard of Christ. Because there are many works on that will not meet the standard of Christ. Now, I want to give an example of that, and that's in the book of Matthew. I'm not opening to that. But the Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. So on that day, some will come and say, Lord, we did this. We did this. We did that. We healed many people. We did so many miracles. Wonderful works, they call them, in your name. And Jesus will say, No, I did not know you. He said, depart from me, ye that walketh what? Iniquity. Did you see walketh iniquity there? Walketh. Now, we want to ask ourselves, what work are you building? What work are you doing now that you have come to the faith? Jesus is saying, I know thy works. And on that day, some people will have no work. On that day, some people will have works that would not stand. On that day, some people will have works that will stand, and they will say, welcome, my faithful servant. Which category do you want to belong to? The next question I want to ask today is that what does God know about you, brethren? He says, I know thy works. While he's saying that to each of the churches, and we're going to talk about the churches, and we take each of the churches and glean as the Lord will reveal unto us, what do we want to learn? What can we learn for our lives, for our journey, for our pilgrimage, and for our ministry? But yeah, we are asking, what does God know about you? He knows all. But if he's going to say for you, what will he say? If the omniscient God will speak of you and I, what will he say? If the divine heaven will speak of our works, what will heaven say? What commendation? What correction? What caution? What condemnation? What counsel will be given concerning you and I? That is the question. You see, the churches, when they still got the letter, they could still make an action because God gave them counsel and he corrected them. On the last day, nobody will have opportunity to do anything again because the die would have been cast. You see, why are we going through this? And we're talking about, I know thy works. It's not because we just want to use I know thy works. Because every man's work, and we have an opportunity today to assess our works. Again, you may ask, what constitutes the work of a man, of a Christian? What does Christ mean when he talks about works? Now, to understand the works of men, I want to take you a little bit back into what was the work of a man that was living in sin. Romans chapter 7 verse 5 tells us that for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruits unto death. You see, that the actions of a man, whether the man is in the world, see, people that are in the world, they bring forth fruit of unrighteousness. And people that are in Christ, they bring forth fruit of righteousness. If you just quickly go to the book of, you know, John, and you look at what Jesus Christ said about bringing forth fruits in John chapter 15, and there Jesus was speaking unto his disciples, just as he's speaking unto the churches today. He said, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruits, he said, it taketh away. And every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruits. Now, these fruits that we talk about are the works. These fruits that we talk about, they stem from the life of Christ in us. And when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, we are talking about believers now. The life of Christ in us produces fruits. I will say fruits. So the fruits that we talk about is the fruit of our walk. Walk. The fruits of our repentance, as we have in the book of Matthew chapter 3 verse 8, saying unto the Pharisees, he said, bring forth fruits unto repentance. That means show forth work that points to the fact that you are born again. The book of Galatians chapter 5 verse 22-23 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Now, when you realize that the Ephesian church, the first church that we read about in chapter 2 verse 1, Jesus says, thou hast left thy first love. I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. You know, if you see again that Jesus was saying, I know thy works and thy patience. And how? And though some of these words, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, were not mentioned directly, but they were the things that Christ was referring to. Their love as different manifestation. Their peace. Their long-suffering in persecution. There was a church there. Particularly, I'm referring to the church in Philadelphia. The Bible says, I know thy patience. Also, even the church in Ephesus, it said, I know thy patience. So in bringing forth these fruits, which are the works of righteousness, they are the works that God has made clear and known unto us in scriptures. But they are not made up works. They are works that come as a result of the life of Christ in us. And once we are not growing in the life of Christ, we are not growing in the Spirit, now we begin to yield ourselves to the world. See, we become servants of whom we yield ourselves to. So the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 6 verse 13, it says, neither yield ye your members as instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness unto God. Your members, your tongue, your lips, your eyes, your leg, your hands, your memory, your brain, yield them unto God. Your members, those things that God has given unto you, yield them unto God to do the service of God, to do the work of God. So these works are service done. And we're going to talk a little bit about them as we go on. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 9 says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. These are good works. But they're not good works of just taking your money and giving to the poor. No, that's not just that. Because anybody can do that without the life of Christ. What we're talking about here is the goodness that comes through the life of the Spirit in you and in me. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 1 verse 11, it says, be filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. The works we are talking about bring glory unto God, bring praises unto God. And you want to begin to assess yourself. One of the churches, we're going to talk briefly about it before we wrap up this evening. They were allowing Jezebel in their midst to teach. And Jesus says, I have this against you. Thou suffered that woman, that prophetess, Jezebel, to teach and to say, these people, brethren, God is calling upon us, both in the things we do and the things we fail to do, they constitute our work. And he's saying, pay attention to them. Pay attention to them. So the passage in the book of Philippians that we just read tells us that the fruit of righteousness are by Jesus Christ, and the result is the glory and praise of God. It must bring glory to the Lord. If there is somebody who is bringing about a any form of corruption into your life, then you need to make a case for how that praises God. If there's anything that is taken away from your hands, your commitment to God. Now we say, oh, they're talking about Jezebel. No, no, no. They're just talking about any Jezebel-like person or thing. There's a thorn in your feast of liberty. God is saying, that is the one I'm talking about. Get it off. Now, these fruits, like I said, they come from a regenerated heart. They are product of a life that is in Jesus Christ. It stems from the seed of Christ in us, the spirit that he has given unto us. They are the fruit of the spirit. They are works of righteousness. They are the fruit of righteousness. No man can do a righteous work except God be in him. The Bible says, it is the Lord that worketh in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we are not talking about unbelievers here. We're talking about those that have come unto the Lord. Are they growing in God? Are they growing in the seed that has been sown in them? Are they bringing forth fruit? Are they budding up? Are they bringing up fruit unto righteousness? These are the works. Quickly, I want to say and differentiate external work from a heart-driven work or actions. You see, for the work of a man to be right, for the actions of a man to be right, the heart must be right. For it is the heart and act combination that makes the work of a man. Lest a man will just do some things and then be living in sin and say, oh, you know, I'm doing this for God. And then people can be praising him. God says, no, I have rejected your person. So there are people that say, there's people who give money. They give, you know, their time. They pour themselves out. But it's not because they love God. It's not from a heart that is perfect. And to one of the churches, Jesus Christ said, I have not found your work perfect before me, before God. You see, and that is why religion without righteousness is empty. For men can act religious. It's an act. So the act is not right, and the act right is only an act. It's theatrics. It's theater. Theater. And many people who are called Christian today, they're only struggling. And their love for Christ is not because they love God. It's because of some men. What would this person say? What would that person say? And God talked about this in the scripture. He says their love towards me is taught by the precept of men. Not because they love me. Not because they know me. It is important that we pursue God and we know God. And it is the life of God in us, not the theater, that drives our actions. If you want to know that men can act right, or so to speak, righteously without a right act, go and ask the Pharisees. Go and ask the Sadducees. Jesus pronounced woes on them in Matthew chapter 23. You can read the whole chapter, Matthew 23. If you look at verse 28, verse 29, the Bible says, even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. He went for that to say, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. You find this in Matthew chapter 23. And he listed all their actions out that seems good, but God is not in it. But it's all about themselves. A little wonder, Jesus Christ said to the church in Sardis. Again, we are not looking at each of the churches today. We're just speaking, taking a panoramic view. Jesus said unto that church, he said, you have a name that you are living, but thou art dead. How many of us are taking actions to keep up an external appearance of holiness, an external appearance of righteousness? And we do everything. Who are you trying to please? If you get there on the final day and you get rejected, everybody will know. And it's going to be an open scandal. Brother this, sister this. Oh, you know, the call that God is calling upon us today, he's saying, I know thy works, is for us to examine ourselves. It's for us to look inward and say, God, look at my heart. Don't waste your time. After all this labor, after all the keeping up, after all the showmanship, you get there that day. You say, no. You are not supposed to be here. No. And then it is shown all the secret sins. Then it is shown all the motives behind the so-called righteous act. What shall your answer be? You see, you will not answer to men. You will not answer to men. You are going to be answering to the living God. Who we talked about, that everything is open unto him. And if there's anything you want to ask today, I'm going to leave some time for us to pray. Is to say, Father, I want my heart to be what you will have it to be. Because if my heart is what you will have it to be, then my actions can be right. Then my acts, my words, my walk, and even my witness can be right. Brethren, the Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, it says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. You will know by the state of your hearts. And he says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? He said, our words also make our actions, our works. Brethren, my time is fast spent. When the Son of Man, Matthew chapter 16, verse 27 says, when the Son of Man, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory. We talked about Jesus as the one which is to come. And that's what we are waiting for. Because he is, as we are talking about. He was, we've talked about that. What we are waiting for is he to come. The Bible says, when he shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. What will be your reward? Romans chapter 2, verse 6 to 11 says, who will render to every man according to his deeds? That's works, actions. To them by patient continuance. You see patience there? Patient continuance in well-doing. While they are doing that well-doing, they are not doing it to please somebody there and to seek favor of men and to seek position in the congregation or to seek this or to seek that. You know what they are doing? It? Bible says in that Romans chapter 2, verse 6, it says, who by patient continuance in well-doing, what are they seeking? They are seeking for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Brethren, what is the hope of all the work you are doing? What is the hope of all your work in this life? If there is no eternal life, if you are not seeking immortality. The Bible then says in verse 8 of that Romans chapter 2, it says, but unto them that are contentious, competition. They are competing for position, competing for influence, competing for everything, and all they are competing for is in this world. And they do not obey the truth, but they obey unrighteousness. The Bible says indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every, underline every, soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jews first, and also of the Gentiles. So nobody is going to be left behind. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that walketh good. Do you see walketh good here? Glory, honor, and peace. Honor to every man that walketh good, to the Jews first, and also to the Gentiles. For there is no respect of persons with who? With God. Brethren, we are going to pray. And I would have loved us to quickly go through each of these churches and see what was God paying attention to. But I will summarize it quickly, right? There were 7 churches: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, we have Philadelphia, and we have Laodicea. And we're going to still talk about each of these churches, and I trust God to really open our eyes and search our hearts as we look at these churches and look at the mirror of the Word of God. But what can we glean quickly, of what God knows about these people? Now, God knows the context, the circumstances of our walk on our pilgrimage on earth. You see, there was a church there, they were serving in poverty. There was a church there, they were serving in persecution. There was a church that was where the Satan seats was. There was a church that was very, very small, amidst larger churches, who were not following the commands of God. As a matter of fact, Jesus called them the synagogue of Satan. And there was a small church there, Philadelphian church. He said, I know you are small, you have some little strength. There's a church that was in the midst of physical and financial prosperity, and they say, oh, we are rich, we are rich. And Jesus says, you are poor. But, brethren, what you're saying is that no matter the context, no matter the circumstances, no matter the challenges that you are going through, riches, poverty, spiritual coldness in your environment, not so many people who are like you, right? There is still a requirement of God for you because he has given you the word of God. And the requirement is that you should continue. Continue in faith. Earnestly contend for the faith that is delivered unto the saints once. Serve the Lord with a pure heart. You see, you can, through the help of God, you can, through the grace of God, follow the Lord with a pure heart. See, the world around you may not follow the Lord. But you know the song we sang? He said, though no one joins me, still I will follow. Though no one joins me, even if no one joins me on this path, so far, I still get the word of God. And I have the assurance of the Holy Spirit that I am in the right path. I will continue. Do you know what Jesus said to one of the churches? It was specifically the church that was in Smyrna. And Pergamos, I mean. These people, some of them were being killed. He did not have anything against them. You know what he told him? He said, I know your works, that even where Satan sits is, thou holdest fast my name. Brethren, the recommendation, the requirement for you is to hold fast the name of Christ, even if it's only you. And do not deny the faith. He said, and has not denied my faith. Even in those days, wherein Antipas, my faithful martyr, he was killed, was slain among you. Maybe you were two, a few. And somebody has gone to join the world. And I say, will you also go? Be like Ruth. Who said, no, I'm not going back. He said, I will follow you wherever you go. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. He said, where you go, I will go. I will die there. Maybe some people had actually chosen to stand for Christ and they got burnt. They lose their job. Maybe they even died. And God is helping some of us. We are in a country in which, you know, it's not like somebody will come and shoot you because you are righteous. Maybe it's happening. But even if that happens, Jesus was saying to the church in Pergamos, he said, and thou holdest fast my name, and thou hast not denied my faith, even in those days when there was persecution, when there was martyrdom among you, and one of you was killed. You never deny the faith of God. God is the requirement for you and for me is that we do not deny the faith of God despite our any circumstances that we may go through. Brethren, it is a requirement for us. Then we must continue with a pure heart and constantly search ourselves. You see, and continue in patience. The church in Philadelphia, the Bible says they were holding fast the name of Christ. Despite the fact I talked about them, the fact that they were small. And there was another big church. They didn't say, oh, what do we do so that we would be like them? And we also grow in number. No. That was not their goal. Their goal was this name of Christ. Even if it means that I am the only one, I will stay there. And you know what God said? He said, Jesus was saying to them, He said, I know thy works. For you hold fast the name of Christ, even where the synagogue of Satan was seated. But then, there was also one more thing, and others we talk about in coming sessions. In things that the churches allow or disallow in the course of their pilgrimage. You know about the Ephesus church? The Bible says they could not bear them that are evil, and they tried them, which say they are apostles and are not, and found them liars. So they do not allow fake prophets. And God says, I know your works. So are you contending for the faith? Jude 3 says, earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. Are you standing for the faith? Are you saying this is whatever you're talking about is not popular? Not popular. How do you want me to continue this? It's not popular. Do you? Who matters? Men or God? The church in Smyrna, Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but they are of the synagogue of Satan. Fake Christians. So they do not allow the activities of fake Christians to stop or reduce their own commitment. That's Jesus saying, I know your works. Those are things that men will get commendation for. There was a church in Pergamos in Revelation chapter 2, verse 14 to 15. Say, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast dared them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. These ones are permissive. They allow people, false prophets, to enter in. And they listened to them. And they told them about eternal security. And they told them about the fact that they can sin and God was just, you know, God is a loving God. They take satanic advisors, prophets who love gain more than righteousness, who want to have them and get their money so that they just be around and they tell them what they want to hear. Are there not people like that? Are you like that? There was a church in Thyatira. Jesus was saying, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. See, these people, they revered a sinful prophet and teacher, and they knew that she was. But you know, a prophet that cannot be touched. You know, nobody talks to a pastor like that. You know, she's a prophet, and you see the wrong, and you keep your mouth shut. Is that the same for you? Perhaps you don't want to hurt anybody's feeling. And this person is coming, and it's taking away your commitment. It's taking away your consecration. He or she. God is saying, I have that against you. Brethren, I don't have an exhausted list of the works of men. But if you look at scripture, God, throughout scripture from Genesis, God comments, counsel men. For example, Job. He said, have you found anyone like Job on earth? That was a mark of approval. You want to have a mark of approval. And God is going to still be commending. I know there are men in life, in living on earth, that God is already commending today. He said about Abraham. He said, shall I do anything and not tell my friend Abraham? God was proud to call him friend. That was who he was. That's commendation from heaven. So God commend and condemn men, individuals, even groups, even the whole land of Israel. He was talking about a tribe in Israel. He said, Ephraim had mixed himself among the people. He said, he's a cake unturned. If you look at the book of Hosea chapter 7, you see this. God was talking about the wrong of Israel. God commends and condemns. And this has been throughout the scripture. And I want to tell you that today, God is still commending men. God is still condemning men. God is still commenting on the actions and works of men. And God is still speaking about men. I want to tell you, I want to ask you, where are you in the spectrum? Are you in the field of commendation? And it is okay that till today, you have thought that everything was fine. But now you know that there is a penetrating eyes that is taking record of your life day after day, time after time, and books are being written. You want to ask yourself, are you in the book that matter? Is your life bringing praise to the name of God? Brethren, it is time to examine ourselves as we pray unto the Lord. As we have seen briefly here, we come later to talk in more details. Christ knows the work of the churches as the same way he knows the church, the work of each and every one of us. What will he say of your own work if today was the day? And I want to tell you that Christ is saying something about your work. He's saying something about my work. What will he say of your work? What will he say of your faith? What will he say of my own faith? You want to bow down your heads and pray to the Lord? It's time to examine your heart. You see, seek the Lord and set yourself. The Bible says, examine yourself, whether ye be in the faith. He said, prove not your own self. You don't want to get to the final day. And that's the only time you have the opportunity and everything. You see, wow. And you start saying, God, but I did this in your name. I did that. And you say, no, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Where did you get that from? Let's examine this disposition of our hearts. Let's examine where our heart is. Is it unto men or is it unto God? Who are we trying to please? Can you say, Father, I want my life to be what you will have it be. I want my heart to be what you have it be. I want my life to be well-pleasing unto you. Help me, O God. See, if you come with that humility, you come to the Lord is ready to receive you. Let's examine the direction of our love. Where is our love? See, the church in Ephesus, their love was going down. And Jesus said, thou hast left your first love. Direction matters, brethren. Upward or downward? There was a church Jesus was speaking to. He said, as you are today, you have gone better. You have gone higher. You've gone upward. Are you retrogressing or are you going upward? Let's examine our current position in the faith. Can we say we have made progress in our faith since we believed? Or is it that we have retrogressed back into the world, back into beggarly elements? Now beginning, we've gone into religiosity. And now we are pleasing to seek men or seeking to please men. Though we may still hold zeal, we may still hold doctrine and the likes, but what's the direction of our life? Upward or downward? You see, the Ephesian church, when we talk about them, they held on to doctrine, but their love was down. Let's examine ourselves in the light of the word of God, not in the light of men's word. Men may say we are alive. Men may praise us. Oh, that brother, when he does this. Oh, that sister. They may say we are alive spiritually because they see some external things. But let's present ourselves before God today and say, God, search me. Try me. See there be. If there be any wicked way in me, cleanse me from every unrighteousness. Brethren, it is the attestation of God that matters on the final day, not the attestation of men. See, even if men praise you, go to God in prayer. That's humility. Go to God in prayer. Perhaps you want to plead with God today. Lord, I want you to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what you would have it to be, so that when I come to that great eternity. You know, the purpose of all this, the works, is that this is the matter that will be critical when men will be judged, when reward will be given of our lives on earth. Brethren, is the Lord fully satisfied with you? This is a recurring theme in this matter. Is the Lord satisfied with your works? Or is he saying, son, daughter, I have not found your works to be perfect before me? Brethren, do you ever wonder if God is satisfied with you and your work? Do you ever wonder? Do you ever seek in prayer his mind concerning you or all you do? is to seek the approval of men. Now, if this pastor, if this minister, if this person approves me, that's all. Master, ministers, men, but not the Messiah. Is the Messiah satisfied with you? If today you will sit before his judgment throne, examine, would the Lord be satisfied with you? Will he be satisfied with me? What is that thing that you know the Lord will not be satisfied with? You want to nail it on the altar today. Why not pray that God will purge you of all the things that will bring dissatisfaction? And then you continue to learn about the Lord day after day, time after time, soaking the word of the Lord, and you constantly examine yourself in the mirror of his word. And every chaff, it removes. Pray that he searches your heart. And I want to please plead with you, beyond this time, we are limited by time. But beyond this time, that God, you pray unto God, you constantly search your heart, because this is Christianity. That you are in a constant state, soul searching state. Because all that will matter at last, when all our work on earth is done, is if our master finds our work perfect. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Father, we thank you for the grace you have given unto us today to look into your law of liberty and to behold your word, to awaken us on the matter of your knowledge about our works, that it does far. It's not that we are sufficient of ourselves. It's not that we have done all, but we are coming unto you. That everything that is not of you, everything that is not of your will in our lives, that the God, the Lord, break them out. That he yank them out in the name of Jesus Christ. We nail them on the cross this day, and we pray, Father, walk upon us. Walk in us. Help us to be who we ought to be. That we pray, search our hearts. Search the leanings of our hearts. Search the disposition of our hearts. Search what we are looking for, what we are asking for. Are we seeking you, or are we seeking men? Father, O Lord, help us that all that matters to us, as we contend for the faith, as we serve, as we walk, as we bring forth fruit, it will not be hypocrisy. It will be love and genuine love for you that will be recognized by you. And even if it's only you alone that recognizes it, God, we are satisfied. Help us, O God, that day after day, we'll constantly examine ourselves, that our works are perfect before you. Help us and do this for us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Thank you very much, and God bless you.